Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. The field of medicine is probably the greatest field of service to the human being, second only to Christianity, which heals the spiritual man. A study of the history of medicine and its growth and its advancement is indeed a fascinating study. Many of the steps and the principles and developments in the history of medicine parallel some of the principles of New Testament Christianity. For instance, in medicine, we read about some of the early theories and practices that would cause us either laughter or maybe even horror today. Ill health was once attributed to angry demons that affected people. Witch doctors in Africa still deal with illnesses in such a light. The medicine men of the American Indian acted on the basis that sickness was a demon-caused condition. They would try to appease these evil spirits by offering various sacrifices and doing certain rituals. They would not treat the disease nor get to its cause. Man later began to recognize symptoms of diseases. Various medicines were discovered to ease the suffering when someone had a certain disease. My great-grandfather was a doctor. I remember seeing on the fireplace mantel the device that is called a bleeder. It was an object with many swiftly cutting blades that would be placed on a person's arm that had high blood pressure. And with a push of a switch, these blades would cut the arm and cause it to bleed, thinking that would relieve the pressure of blood in the veins and arteries. It is said that excessive bleeding is what eventually killed George Washington. Eventually, doctors began to go behind the symptoms of the disease and were not content to just treat symptoms, but began to seek the causes. And once the cause of a disease could be determined, then the removal of the cause would bring about the healing of the disease. And as progress continued, men began to learn how to prevent diseases by avoiding the causes. When the cause is known, prevention is sometimes possible. Medicines have been discovered and vaccines found that can kill bacteria that is harmful and prevent the disease from ever occurring. You've heard the old adage, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. That's not scripture, but there is wisdom there. Anyone had rather avoid having a disease than even being able to recover from it. In many ways, the most beneficial part of medicine to man has been preventive medicine. This is the reason for so much medical research, to be able to prevent a lot of diseases. Now, while medicine deals with the body, Christianity deals primarily with the soul or the spirit of man. There is this deadly spiritual disease, if you wish to call it that. It's called sin. God has dealt with man in the matter of sin under three dispensations. Now, a dispensation is simply a system of rules by which God governs man for a specified period of time. These dispensations in the Bible, for want of better terms, are called the patriarchal, the mosaical, and the Christian dispensations. And although these are not so named in Scripture, we can soon see why these labels have been attached to them when we see the characteristics of them. For instance, the patriarchal age was a time when the father of the family served as prophet and priest before God. It was a time of father rule. Father would receive instructions from God on behalf of the family. The father offered petitions and sacrifices for his family. Such men as Abraham and Isaac and Jacob lived under such a system. Also men like Adam and Noah and many others. And during this period, sin was very rampant. But there was not given a remedy for sin. There was the correction by the flood at the time of Noah. Also sacrifices were offered, but mostly as worship rather than offerings for sin. Under the Mosaic system, there was more concern about sin. There were efforts made to treat the symptoms. Such commands as, thou shalt not kill, was dealing with murder, but it did not get to the cause of murder, which is hate.
The commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery, was the outward manifestation of the cause, which was lust. The thou shalt and the thou shalt not endeavored to remedy sin by instructing man to see the condemnation on him if he sinned. Forgiveness of sin, prevention of sin, that was not the main thrust under the law of Moses. Many kinds of animal sacrifices and offerings were offered because of sin. But as the book of Hebrews teaches us, the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sins. Hebrews 10 and verse 4. When Christ came and produced his system of salvation, he condemned the sin. He provided the way for forgiveness, which is the only cure of sin. But even more, by following Christ, we can prevent sin in our lives. For instance, while the Lord condemned murder, he struck at its cause of hate. The same applied to adultery. He sought to eliminate the cause, which was lust. His teaching was at the heart of man, the inward man, to drive out lust in the heart of man, which was the cause of adultery. The glory of the gospel can be perceived as being threefold. First, it reveals the Savior, Jesus Christ. John 20, 30 and 31 tells us, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." And secondly, it reveals God's power to cure sin, to save man from sin. Paul wrote, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." And here the phrase righteousness of God refers not to the attributes of God. It refers to the system, to the plan, to the scheme that God designed and delivered whereby man is made righteous in the sight of God. And thirdly, the gospel has the power to prevent sin, to keep us from sinning. In Jude 24, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." The gospel provides us a defense against sin and a shield from the fiery darts of the evil one. Just as preventive medicine is the greatest benefit to man, the gospel of Christ is the greatest spiritual benefit there is for all of mankind. Because Christ can and does guard us against sin, that does not mean we cannot sin, or even that we cannot completely fall away. That's because we have our part in this matter also. There are just too many scriptures warning against falling away to ever believe that it is impossible for such a thing to happen. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." Friend, if one could not sin and could not fall, such a warning would have no meaning whatever. James 5, 19 and 20, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins." Now this was written to Christian brethren. Again, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify unto themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame." Hebrews 6, 4 through 6. Peter wrote, "For if, after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it happened unto them according to the true proverb, The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to a wallowing in the mire. So let's understand. Prevention does not mean impossibility. The Word of God does help us to prevent sin. But even so, we must cooperate with that Word. It's not impossible to sin or even to completely fall away. How can we prevent future sins through the gospel? Well, listen to what the gospel tells us. In 2 Peter chapter 1, 5 through 7, "And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance or self-control, and to temperance patience or steadfastness, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love." Peter went on to write, and listen to these words, "For if these things abound, and they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall." Again, Paul wrote, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Now, cannot we see to sow to the flesh would be to produce our condemnation? And Paul wrote concerning the works of the flesh in Galatians 5, 19 through 21, and concluded that list of sins by saying that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. On the other hand, he spoke of the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 21 and 22. "Against such there is no law," he said. The way to prevent the works of the flesh is to produce the fruit of the Spirit, which is done by walking in the Spirit. He says, "Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh," Galatians 5 and verse 16. The inoculation against sin is to fill our lives with righteousness. By having God's Word in our heart, we can prevent sin. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 119 and verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." Jesus prevented sin by escaping the temptations of the devil with a proper use of the Word of God in Matthew chapter 4. Time after time, when the devil tempted him, he would respond, "It is written, it is written, it is written." You see, the teaching of the Word prevented sin. Paul wrote, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth," 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Friend, can't you see how this works? Study brings knowledge. Knowledge enables one to know the difference between what is right and what is wrong. He has the ability to withstand the devil and to be approved of God. The more you know, the more you apply the Bible, the less likely you are to sin. And herein is the great preventive power of the gospel. But the gospel will immunize us only to the extent that we allow it to work in our lives. The smallpox vaccine can do wonders, but not until it is accepted and applied. The salt vaccine that has just about rid the nation of polio can prevent polio, but not if it's not accepted, not if it's never applied. The gospel tells men of the grace of God and the forgiveness of sins, but it cannot and will not save unless it is accepted and unless it is applied. And the prevention of future sins will be a reality only if the gospel is accepted and the gospel is applied. The message of Christ, unbelieved or disobeyed, will not save one soul. But when heard, believed, obeyed, followed in life, we can be forgiven of past sins, and many potential sins can and will be avoided. When we do sin, we have an avenue of prayer to ask forgiveness when we're a penitent and confess our sins. This has been A Burning Fire. You speaker, Jim Boyd. Until next time.